Hello, and welcome to the Public Sector View Radio, where we discuss trends impacting the adoption of video collaboration solutions across government, education, and healthcare. I'm Ryan Traden, the executive editor of the Public Sector View Online publication, and joining me today are Robert Birch and Susie Adams. Robert is the Microsoft Alliance Manager for Public Sector over at Polycom. Susie is the Chief Technology Officer for Microsoft Federal's Civilian Business. They're both here to discuss this week's Enterprise Connect Conference, the Microsoft Polycom partnership, and some exciting new announcements. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Ryan. Great to be here.
Not a problem. Now, Susie, it's your first time on the program, so can you tell our listeners a little bit about your role and responsibilities at Microsoft?
Absolutely. So I'm the CTO for the Microsoft Federal Business. I actually live and work in the Washington, D.C. area. My responsibilities really, I cover the entire federal government and kind of go between the different customer verticals, so Department of Defense, the civilian agencies, the IGOs, folks like UN and Red Cross, as well as the intelligence community. My focus really is on helping our customers understand how to take the technologies that we have today, both on-premise technologies and in the cloud, and help them use them to improve their mission capabilities across the government, and specifically help them improve their information worker and citizen services. A major focus of mine is really on cloud these days, both private cloud and public cloud, as well as government community cloud that spans the software as a service, infrastructure as a service, and platform as a service technologies.
Now, both you and Robert were recently at a Microsoft event, the Federal CIO Forum, held right here in Washington, D.C. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about the kind of folks who were in attendance and the purpose of that event?
Absolutely. So we've been holding the Federal Forum for about 3 years now. We used to hold an event in our Seattle offices in Redmond once a year for our CIOs, and with declining budgets, we decided that it'd be best served for our federal customers to go ahead and move that back to Washington, D.C. So we held the event at the Ronald Reagan Building. It was very well attended, even though we had a little bit of snow that morning, which snarled traffic and closed some schools. And really what we try to do is bring together, you know, between 200 and 250 of our CXO-level customers and their direct reports and kind of share best practices. We have several of our executives come out and talk to them about the vision of the company and what we're doing. We had Scott Charney, for example, from our Trustworthy Computing Group that came out and discussed what we're doing from a security, privacy, and trust perspective as we move into the fifth generation of computing, what we're doing with our cloud services, both for our federal customers and our government community cloud, but also just on a worldwide basis and some of the challenges that we hope to help our customer and the industry work through as we move into that. And it's also a time that we really want our customers to spend a good bit of time networking with each other, as well as with the sales executives from Microsoft, but also with the technical folks in between themselves.
Great. So let's talk a little bit about the cloud. Now, Microsoft's been focused recently on enhancing its cloud offerings, specifically for the public sector and federal customers. What do these cloud offerings encompass, and how have they changed to meet specific government requirements?
Well, so that's a pretty interesting question. If we look at, you know, cloud in general, and when, you know, we've been talking about cloud now probably in the federal, at least in the federal arena, for about 5 years now, probably since the 2010 timeframe when the first GSA BPA came out. And what we learned fairly quickly was that data access and data location matter. Federal customers really, they care where their data lives. They want it to live in the continental United States. They care who has access to that data. In most cases, they want it to be U.S. citizens with some type of federally adjudicated background investigation. And when we look at traditional commercial clouds, and we do run a worldwide business, the promise of cloud goes against kind of that grain where, you know, the promise of a pure play cloud is to be able to move the data anywhere in the world and have it managed by resources that kind of follow the sun. And so what we quickly did was say, look, you know, we have the ability from a technology perspective to build clouds where we can guarantee the customer's data stay in the continental United States, that it's managed by U.S. citizens with public trust or higher background investigations, and we can build a government community cloud where the tenancy is restricted to federal, state, and local, and tribal entities. And so we went ahead and we now have a complete government cloud offering that really spans most of our commercially available cloud products today. So we have Office 365 for government, Azure for government, and CRM Online for government, which really spans our complete productivity platform and application platform. So at the bottom layer, we have Windows Azure services. Azure, you can really think of Azure as Windows Server for the cloud, and that includes our infrastructure and platform as a service capabilities. And on top of that, we have Office 365, which is our collaboration platform, an email platform. So we have Exchange Online, SharePoint Online, and Link Online, soon to be Skype for Business. And then on the CRM Online side, it's really our modern application platform for the future for the federal agencies. And so we're excited to be able to offer a single holistic government cloud offering to our federal customers.
That is exciting. So, Robert, you've been on the program multiple times before with folks from Microsoft. Can you give us some info about the partnership between these two companies? How long have Microsoft and Polycom been partners?
Thanks, Ryan. Yeah, so our partnership goes back 11 years with Microsoft. So since, you know, Live Communication Server, you know, which has evolved the name and the capabilities over time to what we know today as Link, and now being renamed to Skype for Business. So a really long relationship with Microsoft, and it's all about enhancing the experience for end users when they're in that cloud environment or the on-premise environment, that they get really rich, interactive experiences that engage, you know, all of their senses, so that when they're collaborating with their coworkers, you know, it's not merely you know, a conversation and, you know, slides being shown, that you're actually able to see people, you know, get very good quality audio when you participate in that, so that you really get to interact not just with the content, but with each other. It makes that experience, that connection, just, you know, richer, deeper.
Nice. Now, Susie just gave us a really good rundown of Microsoft's government cloud offerings. How does Polycom add value to that?
Yeah, again, I think, you know, we're basically enhancing the experience when you're in that cloud environment. And, you know, from a video perspective, we have a whole slew of technology, you know, probably somewhere around 30 products that customers can use when they're in a online meeting to, you know, get that deeper connection with their coworkers and their peers, and helps build trust, helps you read body language, and, you know, you can kind of gauge the level of engagement of the people on the other end when you're having that meeting and you're trying to agree on a budget, agree on, you know, a plan that you've been tasked to put together. You know, having that visual connected experience takes that interaction to another level that allows people to feel comfortable with the outcomes that they're working on.
Excellent. Now, going on this week down in Orlando, we have the Enterprise Connect conference. Robert, I know there were some announcements that were expected from Polycom. Can you tell our listeners anything about those?
Sure. There were announcements from a lot of industry players there. Enterprise Connect is one of the largest events for unified communications in the world. And Polycom, you know, had a couple of significant announcements specifically related to announcements that Microsoft was making, one of which is that Skype for Business, which is, you know, the next iteration of Link, is, and particularly the cloud version of Skype for Business, will include PSTN calling. So that's really big for Polycom. A lot of people, when they think of Polycom, they think of video, but we're actually a large supplier of handsets for various call platforms, and the Microsoft call platform has just been growing tremendously over the past several years, to where Microsoft now is the largest provider of VoIP to enterprise customers, and Polycom handsets are, you know, qualified to connect into the Link platform. We've done a lot of work with Microsoft, you know, across all of their businesses to make sure that we're supporting the right features and functionality for the call platform. So that's really exciting for us, is that in addition to what we do with our video solutions, working with Link and Skype for Business now in the cloud, the phones get to, you know, rise up to that same equal status level and deliver this great functionality that customers can take advantage of. We did also announce a new video endpoint called the RT100, the Roundtable 100. And this is a, you know, low cost, very easy to set up, easy to use video endpoint that will be great for small huddle spaces. So, you know, with the partnership for Microsoft, we've kind of looked at what customers are doing with their meetings, whether they're audio only or whether they include video, what types of spaces, is it a large auditorium, is it a small huddle space, and we're trying to make sure that we have solutions to fit all of those different environments. And so this new product, you know, targets specifically sort of the SMB space, and I think it's going to be really compelling and allow customers, you know, a different way to leverage their investment in Microsoft and, you know, have a great solution from Polycom to support that.
Excellent. Susie, were there any other significant announcements that happened this week, maybe some from Microsoft?
Oh, I think the biggest one was just what Robert mentioned, which was the Skype for Business. We're excited to be able to really take our acquisition of Skype and kind of merge that with Link to offer the best of both worlds for our enterprise customers. And I really do think it is changing the way that people work across the board, whether it's with the new devices or what we're doing just across the board to improve VoIP capabilities and extend those so that people really can work from anywhere on any device. We made a lot of major announcements just recently about extending our Office product right to any device so that you really have the choice of operating systems or the flavor du jour of the new device that comes out that week, now that you can actually rent your phones from your carriers and rent your devices. So I think it is just an exciting time, and I think the pace of change that you're going to see with the new capabilities coming out, whether they be the devices that hit the street, maybe the you know, I don't think we made recent announcements that we, you know, we're looking at the next version of our tablet devices from a number of different vendors, but also from Microsoft with our Surface device and Surface 4 that will be coming out. I think we made some major announcements around Windows 10, and we might see that this summer. And so just the pace of change that we're seeing and the ability to really help our customers work the way that they need to work and how they like to work, and giving them choice and freedom to do that, I think is what we're seeing, just the explosion of that across the board at all levels.
Excellent. Well, that's all the time that we have for today, unfortunately, but I do want to thank you both for speaking with us. And for our listeners, we appreciate you guys joining us, and we'll be back with more episodes of the Public Sector View Radio in the coming weeks.